we're thankful. Such a beautiful day, and whole week seems to be like it's going to be a very beautiful week according to everyone else's standards. You know, when it comes down to, we all love the sunshine, we all love being able to get outside, and definitely does wonders for us when we can not be cooped up in the house, and thankful for that. And I'm a teacher. I'm not a stomp your foot, shout, and jump up and down person. Yes, he did. That's very true. That's very true. He did a lot more. A lot of ministers don't like to hear that, but it's true. But, you know, I thought a lot as Brother Wilson was talking about earlier about, you know, the church and the condition that we see and the different things that we see. And just in my time growing up in the Church of God in itself, I've heard probably 10-to-1 messages against dividers and divisions. The unity and uniters. And as brother, me and Brother Preston had a conversation not long ago about endeavoring, and it's something we're always striving to do, should be always striving to do. And the moment we stop endeavoring will be the moment that things start creeping into us. And it's a very dangerous state to get a hold of, you know. I thought also, you know, there's many a times when, you know, I'm very, very thankful that no matter what walk of life that we've come through, it's all level at the cross. You know, sometimes it amazes me that I've seen a lot of different ones that they get into competition that who is deeper in sin. And I am too, Brother Wilson. I just feel like, you know, and people often say, Sister Becky, you know, if you were raised in the Church of God, you should be thankful. And I'm very thankful for the truth that I have. But the people that were raised in the Church of God, or any religion for that matter, have a different set of battles than those that have the fleshly battles to come across. And sometimes I think that people lose that, it's a mind game that the devil has. Now if you've had bondage in the flesh, different things that you've had to overcome, I know each one of you, you know, as far as walks of life that you might have had, some might have had a battle with drinking, maybe it's smoking, maybe it's drugs, whatever it is, that's a fleshly battle. But then there's also that spiritual battle that you have to go through in your mind, and bitterness will send you to hell just as worse as anything else will. And absolutely, I'm truly amazed. But it's all, you know. I'm just thankful that no matter which way you come in, God is there to help you. He's there to pick you up, and I'm just very grateful for God's goodness and what He's extended to us. And some have been asking about our work, and just to share with you some things of what we do. We make allergy medication, and basically, when to do that, you have to have a very clean environment. And basically, and this is not part of our lesson, but just to show you. You know, basically, if I consider this crate a cubic foot, and the area that we manufacture our allergens and our drugs in this cubic foot, we're only allowed to have 100 particles in the air. Now, the air that you and I breathe has 100,000 particles every cubic foot, but the air where drugs are manufactured has to be, you can only have 100 particles per cubic foot. And recently, our environment was compromised. There was a bacteria that got into our what's called it's a sterile room, basically the drugs were manufactured in, and basically that room got compromised. There was a bacteria that got in there, and it has virtually shut our company down. We're going to end up throwing $1 million away. And we've been sit down for 6 weeks, and it's total time will be about 6 weeks. And it's definitely been a trial. And some of you might remember it wasn't that long ago. I prayed, Lord, I pray you just slow us down just a little bit. We're running wide open. And people were getting worn out, and everything was happening. Everybody was tired, and they were. And Brother Russ reminded you that you need to remember how you pray. Next time you learn a lesson, you remember how you need to pray. Lord, I pray you just slow our sails down. Don't shut us down. But it does both in this instance. And I've learned you've got to be very specific in your prayers. And you can't always I'm just very, very thankful we have a God that can you imagine? I'm very thankful that He plans and plots our path. That every time I ask for something, He doesn't answer it.
True.
You know, if everything we wanted, if everything, I want $1 million, boom, you got $1 million. I want this, I want that. All of our wants would kill us. They would send us to an eternal hell. I'm just thankful that God knows what's best for us in each step of the way. I thought that we knew what was best of us earlier this week. And we wanted to show and give our children a lesson to communicate to them something that's very important for their specific situation in their life. But it also applies to all of us. And we wanted to go down the path of showing them what adoption means. And what is really involved with that. And so we brought across the path of, well, and then someone gave me the bright idea. I don't know where it came from. But to communicate that, let's go. So that way that they can understand what that word means. And because I'm very thankful, adoption means you're chosen.
Right.
And so to go in a litter of pups, to go through the process of saying, okay, we're going to go and adopt a puppy. And I didn't realize we were going to adopt two. So we were, you know, earlier in the week, our plans were one. We said, let's just go ahead and adopt two. So we had the conversation as we were going down the road of what that means. And to go down through the path of looking at the litter of pups and your choice and saying, and you understand how that little puppy adopts to you and how it clings to you. And you know, the puppies that were hiding or the puppies that were gone or the puppies that just, you know, didn't show a whole lot of compassion or didn't come up and try and be around you. It was then, you know, you realize what puppies you really want. And, you know, me and my wife, we were kind of specific on what we... Let's just go ahead and get these two. These two, we like these two. But it wasn't us. And Shelly said, I want this one. And we got that puppy, and we got another puppy. And I thought it was just amazing to see, and as you're going down the road, and you hear, you know, the puppy was sitting on Shelly's lap, going down the road, and as you hear the giggles, just look at her. And she was, and God showed me. He said, son, when I choose you, I go through the same process. And when you love on me, I do the same thing. What a wonderful blessing that was to me.
Amen.
To walk away from that and say, God, I'm so thankful that when I come to you, and I'm able to praise you, and I'm able to give you glory, and I'm able to work for you, and I'm able to labor for you, I'm glad you like it. I'm glad that you approve of my work. And I thought so much about that this week. I thought about how that is just how God loves to adopt.
Yes.
And the glorious thing about it is we are chosen individuals.
Yes,
he took special time out, and he knew T.J. Maynes. He knew what T.J. Maynes was going to go through. He knew every little thing that he was going to have to do. And every one of us, the great thing about it is, God chose us. And thank the Lord, we found a way. We wanted to come back. We wanted to give back. And the glorious thing about it, I love it. I know for us, as just a general people, I haven't even touched my notes. I didn't know. It was kind of like you got notes down on your piece of paper, but you don't know which way to go with them. But we crave to be connected. We crave to belong. We crave to have that connection. We like to have a home. We like to have someone to go to, and we like somebody to come back to us. And I'm thankful that our Lord takes that time and effort and that communication. And if you could, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, Romans 8, verses 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This passage speaks about our relationship with God, and the key word is adoption. And we are the sons of God and the children of God because we've been adopted. Adoption speaks of love and of mercy and of grace. It's a legal action whereby a person is brought into a family that they have no blood relations to. But when a person is adopted, he is given all the privileges that the other members of the family possess.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Yes, it is.
Originator of that.
Very true. God first extended adoption to the Israelites, and then God extended adoption to all of the redeemed of Christ's church. Those of us who are saved and have received the Spirit of adoption have been made sons of God, even though we are unworthy. We are unworthy. And there's that song, unworthy, but made worthy. And God took special time to make us His very own children. Dirty. Rotten. Not worth any money. Not worth anything to anybody. But God found special time and He said, I want to adopt. Today, many think of those who are adopted as second-class offspring. Those added to a family because no one else wanted them. I know in times past, and, you know, talking maybe 50, 60 years ago, you know, it was not a highly thought of thing. You know, it was almost like your parents, this child's parents had abandoned them.
Yeah.
And they were just felt like they were always playing second fiddle.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that with our God, we don't play second fiddle. But in the first century, in which the scripture was written, and many times people forget the time frame that this was wrote in, and all the things that happened then, believe it or not, their society back then was much viler than it is today.
Yes.
And that's something that a lot of people forget. You go into the Roman culture and you realize what they did, they surpassed anything that we've seen in America. Rotten. But back in the first century, people held a much different view of adoption. In ancient Roman society, if a father deemed any of his sons worthy to receive his inheritance, he found his son. And he would adopt the son for that purpose. He'd find someone with character and the talent that he wanted in a son. So, realize today that if God doesn't have a talent, wow, he's got to find someone. And he's got to reach out to someone. And he's got to work with someone. And he's got to labor with someone to bring them and their talent. The adopted son would then take precedence over all the man's real sons. In ancient Roman culture, an adopted son was not a waif picked up off the street. Rather, he was chosen by a father to inherit his estate and to bear his name. And I am so thankful for that. I know not long ago there was, I heard the story of a, and I've talked about the Eagles at church and how they found a baby eagle that had fallen, and whether its mother had been killed or whatever might have happened, but they found this little baby eagle. And they took that to a sanctuary where there was another eagle, where there was a mother eagle. And with that, they said, let's find out what's going to happen. And when they did, they took that baby eagle and they put it in the nest. And you don't realize what's going to happen because some mothers would kill it. It's not mine. But that mommy eagle, she took that because the baby eagle's going to shy away because it doesn't know this is a big creature. This is something I've never experienced before. But she breathed. And bring that little eagle. And she goes and she bites herself. And she draws blood. Her own blood. And she takes that blood and she marks that little eagle. That is hers. And that's what Jesus did for me. And I'm thankful that we've got that Lord that's able to do that for us. I'm thankful that we have a Father that is able to come to us in all our circumstances. No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Give him right.
That's right.
Very true.
So, you know, this world has so equipped itself, and they play. You know, they got lots of TV programs and everything else out there. Of, you know, one that's fairly common is they go and they adopt a family, and they rebuild them a brand new home. And they show all the emotion. They show all the things that go along with it. But the world is seeing the world taking care of its own and helping its own. And these ones that are in unfortunate circumstances, taking care of its own. And it sometimes makes me wonder. Because oftentimes we get hurt. If you're going to be around the Church of God, you might as well get ready. You're going to get hurt. It happens. Because, and we say Church of God, but you know what? From what I understand, it's in all denominations.
It is.
The more you put yourself out, and the more that you sacrifice, and the more that you dedicate yourself to trying to help God and His people,
yep.
you're going to get hurt. Thank you.
I talked to denominational preachers in case they had the same problems that I had.
Yes.
People acted the same way. You know. As Brother Richie said one time, bless his heart, I will forgive if people are free.
Yes.
We weren't talking about the world. It's not about religious people.
That's right.
People are cruel. They could be cruel.
Yes.
God help us not.
And some, I thought the other day, I thought, you know, sometimes you gotta bring it down and bring it back to people. And you really serve the Lord.
Yeah.
By your nasty attitude, you really serve the Lord.
Tell you what.
They'll be the first ones to de-Christianize you. Mm-hmm. Tear you down.
Yeah.
Kick you while you're down. They'll kick you when you're not down. But God will honor. There's two things that I've learned. I've learned it the hard way.
Yeah.
Is that if you present yourself as a humble and honest person, those two rules, the moment that we lose them, we lose everything we've got.
Right.
But when you lose your honesty and your humility,
yeah,
you will not succeed as a Christian. You will stumble, you will fall, you will have fights, you will disagree, you'll get in out of sorts with people, and it won't be long until you become one of those people that they always preach against. You'll become a divider instead of a unifier. You'll stop endeavoring, and you'll start dividing. And but I thought as those two things were coming to my mind this week, and how our world is learning to adopt and bring in and trying to show this, it's very fictitious because. I've even read about these homes that these, you know, this TV program that they go through, and they make these big old nice fancy homes, and then they end up losing them to bankruptcy. It's not the home. It's not the home that makes the family. And when everybody's gone and all the builders are gone and all the help is gone, it doesn't change their situation. And I'm thankful that we can have a mission. That's what the lesson's about more than anything, is our mission, not only to recognize our own adoption, but also to be able to go out and adopt. Because, you know what? God, when He adopts us, it's a very, believe it or not, you know, we don't think that God is vulnerable, and God's not vulnerable.
but it's a time and place to where our relationship with God is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And God sacrifices, and He goes, and He works in situations, and He tries to get us to a place to where we recognize our need. And then once we get saved, we feel like, oh, all things are great and wonderful, and life is just fantastic. And then somewhere along the line, life hits us, and we can get a good dose of reality sometimes. But but to understand that God puts out, knowing, God sacrifices, knowing that there is, with a new convert, there's always that chance you're going to fall. There's always that chance, and that's where he's got to be coming along. Come along and say, come on now. And oftentimes, when they won't come on, when they won't come back, it's kind of like a person that comes down the altar. And we've all been in churches where we've seen people that have come, and they'll come for 2 weeks, and then they'll miss a service, and then another service, and then another service, and then they're gone. They've lost that communication, and God puts out, knowing that He's not always going to get a good return on whatever comes back. He knows that not everybody's going to come back. He knows that. But it doesn't change our obligation to go and be as the Lord would have us to be. You know, we've heard it many times before as far as putting ourselves out, and we don't want to get hurt, so people don't put extra effort forward. And, you know, especially if somebody's backslid, and we've heard different messages about that. As far as when somebody backslides and then they come back, then there's this hesitation: am I going to be hurt again? Am I going to have to go through this again? I think probably one of the biggest things is to make sure that we don't lose our ability to adopt those that need help. Because more than ever right now today, people need us to take them under their wing. It really is. I thought last year, young boy that come to the congregation when he was younger, so I never lost my burden for him, Brother Earl. And he didn't live that far away. And I love to mow my lawn. But I thought, maybe if I could just get him around. Maybe if I could just do something, I'll pay him to mow my lawn. That way I can spend time with him. Just something. Give him some spending money. And so we did. And it took all summer long. All summer long. And it was kind of sad this past youth camp. He got saved last September. But this one, he was gone. It's amazing, 2 months later, he'd get back into school, he'd get back to the environment. Man, it's just too hard. But you know what? I started in again. Had into the house 2 weeks ago. And we'll do it again. If that's what it takes. And it might hurt again. Might not have a return. Some people have the ability to work with multiple individuals at the same time. And then some people don't have that ability. And so whatever your ability is, it should always endeavor to begin adopting. Begin finding different ones that you can. You know what? It doesn't necessarily even have to be a sinner. It could be somebody, you know, and I recognize that Marion, more than anything, we don't have many older saints. And we have a lot of people. We have a lot of people that are the same age, involved with their families. They got kids. They're pretty active. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're going here. They're going there.
And at that age, when you're in the center of raising your children, it's very, very difficult to spend extra time on somebody else's thing. And sometimes we're weak because we can't seem to help. And sometimes we're limited on who we can go to help. And I'm not saying that. It's just sometimes the older ones, when they get all the kids out, they retire and they move to Florida. And they're gone. Sometimes, but it might be different situations where they're just not around like they used to be. And but it may not be returning to Florida. Maybe they're just as busy with their own lives after they have the kids. Sometimes then it turns into grandkids. And great grandkids.
Yeah.
But I guess more than anything, and I'm about done, is understanding our responsibility to continue to adopt.
Yeah.
And understand that God has a burden to always adopt. He has a burden to choose us, and He chose us. Or else we wouldn't be here, more than likely.
Yeah.
And to just go out recognizing that our desire and our burden should always be to have that desire to go out and be a help. Because there's lots of helps this world has.
Yeah.
If you don't have food, there's help. If you don't have money, there's help. If you don't have this, there's some government or some outside resource that will, the need for the church is almost gone away. Because the church stopped helping. The church stopped helping. That's exactly right. And Brother Preston pointed out, Church of God, I don't necessarily think it's a Church of God. I think it's all churches. People got a bad taste in their mouth. If it's a Baptist, if it's a Methodist, if it's a Catholic, if it's this, if it's that. Dependency has switched from the Lord and helping people to, I don't have to seek the Lord. I can just go and sign up. And if you've been involved in some of these programs, I'm not talking against the program itself. I'm talking that the world has made that a stipulation for enabling help. And it really does. And But that's all I have for tonight. Just to think about that throughout this coming week. Is
we have received the spirit of adoption.
Yes. Very true. Very true. Thanks, Brother Preston.
Thinking about stress pressure.